Islam is probably the largest non-Christian religion in the UK today. It certainly is the fastest growing. Yet when we read about Islam in the media, the words terrorism and fundamentalism are never far away. As a result, the average Briton believes that most Muslims are fanatics. The media rarely identifies anyone by their religion, unless they happen to be Muslims. When did you ever see the words Christian hooligans, Roman Catholic Basque separatists, Jewish Israeli soldiers, or radical Methodists? I could go on. The media tends to use Muslim as an adjective to describe what it thinks are the bad guys. And what about that word jihad? It simply means struggle, as you all know, a struggle to try and improve yourself and your life. Yet the hysteria it whips up in the media is unbelievable, and this translates down through to the newspaper reader. No one is expecting the media to agree with all Muslims. Yes, there are extremists, but they are not representatives of Muslims living in the UK. And yet every time there is a Muslim issue, Sheikh Abu Hamza al-Masri is whipped out and put before the TV cameras or interviewed, and suddenly he becomes the representative of the British Muslim. I'm sure he would like to be that, but we all know that he's not representative of British Muslims, not all of them anyway. Legitimate criticism should be welcomed, and it is welcomed. But why does the media continually seek out extremists like him to comment on Islam as though their views are mainstream? I'm afraid it's because there is indeed a great presence of Islamophobia in the media. And the trouble is, many Muslims today are afraid to speak out and to complain. They are scared their views will be misinterpreted, and as a result, quite a few, including community leaders, clerics and academics, prefer to say nothing about the injustices in their daily lives, and there are plenty. This ostrich head in the sand syndrome was all evident at Bradford in the wake of last summer's riots. While Brixton and Toxteth received millions of pounds in community aid, help and advice in the wake of their riots and all sorts of practical help, Bradford and the other districts in the north have received nothing. The London riots spawned community leaders like Bernie Grant and Paul Boateng. The Conservatives were in power at the time, and they actually took the problem of the riots very, very seriously and responded in a responsible manner. But in the wake of September 11, Bradford's community leaders have been running scared. They have been looking the other way as this so-called British justice of ours has taken its course, and the media has also largely ignored the injustices that are happening in Bradford. Scores of young men, many of them bright young university students, are now serving between 4 and 8.5 years in jail for throwing stones. People who throw petrol bombs in Belfast get a warning first. At worst, they'll get 30 days in prison. These young men, some of them, have been sent down for holding stones, for just being there, not for actually throwing stones. And thanks to some sections of the media, the community up in Bradford has been criminalised with the paint of one brush. Their dignity and respect has been removed. No distinction has been made about the role of the rioters. Who were the leaders? Who were the followers? Even in the Crown Court where these cases have been heard. Instead, all of those young men have been victims of Texan-style justice. The media has been silent, but so largely has the community. Judge Stephen Gullick defended his harsh sentencing recently by saying, "The colour, creed, ethnic origin, or religion of the individual defendant is of no consequence whatsoever." He said the rioters were being jailed for their own actions as well as those around them. He used phrases like the common purpose and responsibility taken together. The last time we heard phrases like that was in the courts in South Africa in the day of apartheid. Yet still the media has been silent about this outrage that's happening and is still happening in Bradford. What is happening up there is like something out of Mississippi Burning. This isn't just racism at work, it is Islamophobia. More than 90% of the young men who have been sent to prison so far are Muslims. Yet the likes of Judge Gullick are not the only problem. Islamophobia goes to the heart of British government, and again, the media tends to look the other way. Home Secretary David Blunkett called Bradford critics, people like me, bleeding heart liberals. The diatribe he came out with was odious, offensive, but sadly not out of character. This is the man who uses the word swamped to describe the plight of asylum seekers. Not only were they swamping doctor's surgeries, he said, they were swamping schools as well. And the media faithfully reported this. While Tony Blair might have stolen Margaret Thatcher's clothes, Blunkett is stealing her language. His white paper on immigration was littered with Islamophobic references. And yet the media was all too willing to regurgitate his headline-grabbing views. His statement about forced marriages and female circumcision in the Muslim community. Yes, those problems do exist. However, it involves a tiny minority. They are not the real issues. The real issues facing the Muslim communities, or many of the Muslim communities, are poverty and prejudice. And yet, the Home Secretary's language has become increasingly offensive. He's actually sounding more like the UK political version of George Bush with his monosyllabic references. Even the British National Party is starting to use the language of the Home Secretary in its literature. He has the gall to tell ethnic minorities to adopt British norms and do more to fit in with British culture. The Muslims do not need Blunkett to define their nationality. And how do you define Britishness anyway? What is the British norm? According to the media on the continent, we're a nation of pot-smoking, hard-drinking hooligans. Now, I'm not suggesting you go out and drink 10 pints of beer, throw it up and beat up your wife or your husband and then roll a joint. The funny thing is, the very family values that the government wants us to adopt and the right-wing newspapers would like to promote are already well-established and practiced on a daily basis in Muslim communities, yet no one focuses on that. Most of the Muslims that I have met believe in the family unit, believe in tolerance, hard work, and good moral values. But you will never read about positive sides of Muslim life in the mainstream media, newspapers, TV, and radio. Unfortunately, many of them largely ignore the differences and diversity of Islam. A few years ago, the Prince of Wales called for bridge building between Islam and the West. It was 1996. The media attacked him, and they came out with Islamophobic rhetoric. The Daily Telegraph headline was, "Prince Charles is wrong. Islam does threaten the West." Sadly, if you look at the Telegraph today, it has not really advanced much in its thinking. The Sun, in particular, its columnist Richard Littlejohn, are often guilty of Islamophobia. Sometimes it's overt, sometimes it's subliminal. Even the Daily Mirror, which has brilliantly reinvented itself as a champion of injustices, occasionally slips into this sort of rhetoric. News of my decision to embrace Islam was criticized by columnist Sue Carroll, and the headline read, "Go back to Afghanistan." The point of this was recently embodied in a cartoon that was printed in the Daily Mail, showing a stereotypical Muslim men standing outside the Houses of Commons, holding placards saying, "Death to Britain, death to America." The caption read, "Parasite, Chambers English Dictionary, a creature which obtains food and physical protection from a host which never benefits from its presence." This article, this cartoon, didn't just refer to the supporters of bin Laden, but it was referring to all Muslims without any sort of differentiation. We saw how some of the mainstream media treated Sherry Blair when she came out with a very innocuous statement at a Palestinian fundraising event. She said something like, "As long as young men continue to blow themselves up, there will never be peace in the Middle East." The next day, the papers, the headlines screamed at her. What had she said that was so, you know, so outrageous? She was stating a fact. In fact, it was here that when the discussion of suicide bombers came up, I refused to apologize for calling them martyrs, because that's what they are. If a newspaper really does want to take up a campaign, maybe it should do a campaign about the 7 British Muslims who are being detained in Camp X-Ray in Cuba. These are British citizens. We all saw the headlines that I generated for illegally going into Afghanistan without a passport, without a visa. I was guilty. I was never charged. I was released on humanitarian grounds after being treated with courtesy and respect. We still don't know what the crime is that those men in Cuba have committed. They haven't been charged with anything. And it is an outrage that 7 of those men are our British citizens, and this government is doing nothing, absolutely nothing, to try and secure their release. They aren't being treated as prisoners of war. They're being denied every right under the Geneva Convention. It is an absolute outrage. And that should be something that the British newspapers should be campaigning for. The Daily Mail got so excited and so agitated when Greek arrested and locked up 12 plane spotters last year. But the Camp X-Ray Brits, they're not interested in. Could it be the fact that they're Muslim, I wonder? It's largely true that current affairs and political programs usually ignore the Muslims until there is a crisis. September 11 came, and in many ways it was the worst thing that happened to Islam. The focus of attention was put on the Muslim communities. People felt afraid and frightened. And yet at the same time, you know, it was probably one of the best things to happen to Islam as well. As I mentioned before, it is now the fastest growing religion, not just in this country, but in the world. The Quran is still the fastest growing book. And that is because the spotlight has been put on the Muslim community. There are newspapers and the electronic media that do take the issues that I've raised seriously. The Guardian, Channel 4, sections of the BBC, especially the World Service, are becoming more sensitive and are devoting more space in a positive light to the injustices suffered by the Muslim community. Persistent Islamophobia in the UK media is without doubt deeply affecting young British Muslims. Some are losing their confidence in themselves. They are becoming frustrated and angry. This is their country, it's our country, it's your country, and yet they are being made to feel like outsiders. If I can go back to Bradford, the youths who rioted in Bradford have no problem speaking English. They would have no problem passing Blunkett's silly Britishness test. They were born in the UK. What they do resent is being excluded from great British traditions, like being able to get a job. It's not all negative doom and gloom, though. We can make changes. Each and every one of you today can make a change. You can make your feelings heard and felt by writing to newspapers, writing to the BBC, writing to Channel 4. If you like something that you read or that you see on television, write and say, I enjoyed that. If you dislike something, if you find it offensive, if you find something Islamophobic, write and tell the editor of that programme. Quite often, the Islamophobia in the media isn't deliberate, it stems from ignorance, which is no excuse, I know. But if you point it out and make people aware, don't sit and get angry amongst yourselves. You know, get even, get on the internet, email your friends, get people to write in, and you can make a change. Things are starting to turn and things are happening already. I mean, there was a great week in The Guardian to mark the Islamic Week, which was Islamic Awareness Week, which was also covered very, very well on Channel 4. So it isn't all doom and gloom, and things actually have come on great strides in recent years. And as I say, September 11, while it was the worst thing to happen to the Muslim community, it can also be turned into a very positive thing as well. But it's all down to you. You've got to make it happen. Thank you.